Hi, this is Eric Castro with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. Welcome to the Book of Acts. We are in the Angels module, and this is part two. And, you know, I was so excited about the first episode, and I believe that as we carry on in the Book of Acts, looking at the ministry of angels, I believe it's going to encourage our faith that there is another realm of help that God has given to the church, and it's very clearly laid out in the Book of Acts. So I'm believing that as we look at the Word of God, that the faith of God is going to increase in us. We're going to rise up and do exactly what they did with the help that they had. God hasn't changed. Let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I'm asking that revelation, a spirit of wisdom and revelation would enter our hearts, that we would take our place as the sons and daughters of the living God. And Father, I thank you that we're going to do the works that you have commanded us to do in this hour before the great and wonderful day of the Lord that's soon to be. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles or if you have the notes, you can go to our website at www.foursmiles.com, or if you're already there, there is a link on each module where you can download that chapter of the book. Now, this is the module on angels. So just at the top, you'll see a green link probably, and you can click on the link. You can get the PDF of this chapter, and you can study it and make notes and learn more on your own after you turn the video off. So now let's look at it. This is number four, the fourth occurrence of angels ministering in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10 and verse 3. So he saw, it's Cornelius, a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming down to him and saying, Cornelius. Oh, boy, there's a lot there. Now, though angels are active in the harvest of the nations, and they are, they do not preach the gospel directly to men. The role of preaching belongs to man. So as we studied even in the last episode on number three, we see where Philip goes to Samaria. There's a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then the angel of the Lord comes with a message from heaven and says, go down into the desert. And doesn't give him any more information because the Lord is looking for obedience. But God was opening up and directing a whole move of God into two different directions, one into Ethiopia and the other one to move up into Caesarea. So angels are so important in these operations, but Philip was the preacher. In this, the angel comes to Cornelius, but he doesn't preach the gospel to him. That's not his role. And so the role of preaching belongs to men. Now, I mentioned above, the wind of God's Spirit was blowing for the Gentiles. Now, we talked about that on number three. Go back and study number three again. We talked about a wind of God moving down into Ethiopia. Nobody knew about it. Only God did. God sends an angel in order to get a gospel laborer, Philip, in order to get him in position to do his part of the operation. There were many different parts. Man had one part. Angels had a part, and the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit had a part in it as well. It's no different here. And I believe that when you study these two accounts of angelic ministry, it's like the Lord is saying, let me show you how harvest operates as Philip goes down to meet the Ethiopian. And then God says, well, let me do it again. Let me show you. It's the same thing, but this time we're moving into the Gentiles and everything is going to begin to move over towards Rome. Here we have the gifts of the Spirit. We have the ministry of angels, and we have the pieces of this whole thing being put together. Now, something you need to study and meditate on further. So an angel was sent to assist in making sure that all the pieces in place and players were put into their proper position. In this passage, we see the ministry of angels, the ministry of men, and the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's proper to note that without the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of angels, this door to the Gentiles would never have opened. Thus, making it clear why the Lord commanded his body of believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, fire, and power. Everything about a move of God is supernatural. I want you to think about that. Everything about a move of God is supernatural. So, whether it's with the ministry of the angels or the operations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's why the Lord commanded us, his body, to be baptized in this holy fire, holy power of God, so that we more, so that we're oiled in order to fit into the operations and move more seamlessly, maybe. I mean, you want the parts oiled up and greased, just like your engine in your car, don't you? You need to oil it. You need to grease it. Well, the power of the Holy Ghost upon us as men enables us in order to move with these operations of God. Why? For the harvest of the nations. Cornelius and Peter, those two guys, they didn't live that far away from each other, but they lived in different worlds, different rules that governed the cultures that they lived within. And let me tell you, those Jews were not thinking about the Gentiles. God was. And so God had to move by the power of his Spirit and begin to shift things into place and into position. And so therefore, prayer was crucial. The ministry of angels, crucial. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, crucial. Men full of the power of God moving in these operations, crucial. Oh, I tell you, I'm blessed already. Now let's move on to number five. And so Peter is delivered from prison by an angel. Go to Acts 12, verse 7. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. A light shined into the prison. He struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly." And the chains fell off of his hands. Now, standing before the throne of the Father and the exalted Jesus. I mean, there's Jesus before the throne, restored back into the place of authority and dominion that he had before the creation. But he's a man. He's completely God, completely the Word of God, made flesh. He was a man. And so here he is. He is the brightness, the light of everything that God is shining through him as well. And these angels are standing there beholding the fullness of who he is. You and I haven't done that. And we're going to have to wait for that day to see the fullness of all that Jesus is and the Father, boy, and the Holy Spirit. It's going to be amazing. Right now, you and I, we can't contain that power, that ability. But these angels are there and they're looking at the throne and they're receiving impartations of commands. And they go down to the earth. And so here we have, standing before the throne of the Father and the exalted Jesus, this angel received an impartation of power for Peter's deliverance. Remember, the church was in constant, fervent prayer for his release. As the angel entered the prison, the light of his countenance, it lit the prison up. It said everything lit up. You didn't need a flashlight. You didn't need a torch. This angel, I mean, it was real light. I mean, it was God's light. You know, the Bible says in Revelation that in the end, we're not going to need the sun because of the light of the sun himself, the S-O-N sun. Well, this angel walked into that prison with that light. And the guards remained spiritually dumb, blinded to the whole event. The presence of the glory of God upon the angel caused the chains binding Peter, binding the church, to fall off. This story is a testimony of the fervent corporate prayer and the power that belongs to the church, if she'll rise up and engage in it. Whoa, the power of a praying church. And what you'll find is that there's an ability that comes on corporate prayer that the individual praying at home doesn't enter into. And they may have some very powerful prayer times at home, but when you enter into that corporate prayer meeting, you'll find that there is an operation of God that intensifies. And in this case, they were corporately, fervently desiring something. In this case, it was Peter's deliverance. And I'm telling you what, heaven responded. And the response of heaven was an angel with an impartation of an answer to come down and change something in the earth. Oh, my goodness. Makes you want to get the church together and start praying. Of course, the time that we live in, with so much evil, the church is going to have to be restored to this kind of prayer meeting. You can't just operate like we were in the 70s or the 80s or the 90s. Times have changed, and we've got to change the church. The Western church, I don't believe the model that we've known is going to be successfully, is going to operate and bring a success into the church in the West for the times that we live in. The church is going to have to change and get back to what we find in the book of Acts, because this model always works. It was a model that was given to the evangelization of the nations. They were corporate prayers. They hungered and thirst for the move of God. Angels were coming and going. And so this is all in the Bible. It's all right here. If all we're interested in is a Sunday morning meeting that is controlled by time, we're never going to enter into these graces of God. And there are grace weapons in heaven waiting for the church to rise up and to take hold of them and to bring them down upon the earth. Many times we're saying, God, why aren't you moving? And God's saying, you have full access to everything that I have. You can rise up. You can get up here, act like a son and daughter of God, and begin to take hold of these grace weapons and begin to activate them and to work them into the society that you live in. But you know, if churches only are praying for their, well, let's have our own little refreshing moment here of a little bit of prayer, that's not going to cut it. These days are perilous days. Refreshing prayer is what you do at home. When you're together with the army of God, then there are mandates and orders that come from heaven, and the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers should be engaging in these so that these operations can come down and move out. If this doesn't happen, the church in the West will dry up and be no different than the church of Turkey, which doesn't exist today. I mean, in a very, very different form. There are Christians, but those angels that were given governance to minister to the body, they're not going to be there. The Lord says, I'll take those away. The church has got to get back to a fervent, serious, activated faith and desire for the harvest of the nations, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of angels, and hungering for the Lord's return. You know, we're called to say, Lord, come. Lord, we want you to come. Lord, we want to keep ourselves in check, that we're not so consumed in the world that we live in, which is rotting, that we're not saying, Lord, we just want you to come. We really want you to come. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the bride never hearing the groom never hearing the bride say, oh, I just want to, get married. Oh, I desire you. Oh, no. We have to desire him. Okay. Now let's go to number 6. Acts 12:23, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, King Herod, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now, I probably took a little bit of liberty on this, but I think the liberty that I took is permissible. And I'll tell you why. Now, listen, the Bible talks about angels with swords. Yeah, it's very clear about that. What a thought. A flaming sword guarded the way to the tree of life, Genesis chapter 3. The angel with a sword was sent to strike Balaam as he rode a donkey en route to curse the Israelites. Even David looked over and saw an angel with a sword drawn. He was ready to wreak havoc on the land. And he began to intercede before the Father just to change that, right? So it is here, except this time we see a man who actually was struck by the angel. It seems it must have been an amazing sight to see a king fall off his throne with a slice through his body, causing his insides to fall out, and so that everybody could see that he was full of worms. Now, maybe I took a little bit of artistic license there. We do know that the angel hit him. Most likely, I believe he hit him with a sword, an instrument of judgment. Then it says everybody knew that he was eaten with worms. Now, how do you know worms are eating somebody unless you see inside? So I took a little bit of artistic license and said, I believe that he was struck open and people could see what was in him. I go a step further. I believe that the worms of hell were already pulling on him in order to, that judgment was already in operation. Oh, excuse me. There's a lot that you can add into this. Maybe not preach it as doctrine, but there's a lot of truth, facets that should bring the fear of God into our lives. Angels are real. They administrate blessing. They administrate judgment as well. Now, look at this scripture. He changes the times and the seasons. This is Daniel. He removes kings and he sets up kings. He gives them wisdom to the wise, knowledge unto those that know understanding. Daniel 2:21. Now, Daniel 4:17. The matter is the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know, that the living may know that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of men. He gives it to whoever he will. He sets up over it the least of men, the basest of men. there's a God that rules in heaven. He has angel armies, and he does rule. He's in control. And there are angels that come and they administrate judgments. So this ought to bring a realm of the fear of God into our lives. How much do you really want to know about angels? Now let's look at number 7. This is the last one. And the thing I like about this is Acts 27:23. Because this is the first time we see the ministry of angels outside of the land of Israel in the New Testament. So people may say, well, ministry of angels happened inside the Holy Land. Well, as the gospel was going outside of the Holy Land, moving into the nations, we see angels were still ministering. So we see the power of the gospel and everything that works with the gospel moving forward. That includes the ministry of angels. Now, Acts 27:23, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. So remember, Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Well, if he's going to be with us, that includes the ministry of angels as well. And in this one, now look, this passage is the first mention of angelic ministry outside of the boundaries of Israel. The Bible gives all believers spread across the nations the assurance of heaven's help through the ministry of God's celestial servants. Paul's love for the Lord and the assurance of his relationship with the Lord. Now, that's important. He loved the Lord and he was assured of his relationship with the Lord. Brings a wonderful nuance of understanding concerning the ministry of angels. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. That little phrase, whom I am, whose I am, and whom I serve. We've got to get that into us, that special understanding of relationship. The presence of the angel emanating God's faith and power brought such encouragement to Paul concerning his relationship with the Lord. Now, Paul wasn't doing anything for this operation of protection, and that's what it was. The angel wasn't sent to deliver Paul, such as stopping the storm or moving the boat supernaturally to a peaceful place. No, this angel was sent to protect Paul. Sometimes that's the way it is with us. Sometimes we see a quick deliverance where we were in complete danger and then we were moved out of it. That happens. But there are other times where we're going through something very grueling, and if only we could see that as we worship and stay connected with the Lord, that His angel is there, and there's a presence and a grace of God emanating that's protecting us in this season of a storm. That's what this was about. And here at Paul, he's teaching us that in that confidence, I serve the Lord, and I know that I belong to the Lord. And in that, He sends His angel to minister to me, to help me, to be there for me, even in the Lord's life. The Gospels do not hide that angels were coming and going, touching Him, infusing strength into Him so that He could finish His course. So as we look at the ministry of angels in the book of Acts, wow. I mean, think about it. Let's recap it. First one, the angels deliver the first message in the church time of the Lord's return. Isn't that wonderful? Then there was a deliverance. And with that deliverance, the angels gave another directional word from heaven. Isn't that amazing? Then there's another directional word, but this is for harvest. So one was a directional word after they're delivered out of prison of which way to go. The next one is a directional word for harvest. And then the next one, number four, we just did it, is another directional word into harvest, Cornelius and the Gentiles. So the angels are helping bring message and give direction into harvest. Then we have another deliverance. Then we have a judgment. And that's number six. And then number seven, protection in the storm. Paul wasn't delivered out of the storm. He was protected in it. And he survived through it all because the Lord sent an angel, and the power and the faith of God emanating from that angel who had been there before the Father God, before Jesus himself, receiving an impartation of everything that Paul needed, came down, gave the word to Paul, and his presence, though nobody saw him, Paul did. Discerning of spirits opened up the eyes of Paul. He saw that angel, and it delivered them all safely to where they need to be. Now, I want you to think about it. Your life has a purpose to it. You're called to the Great Commission. We all are. Nobody is left out of that. And as we press into that Great Commission, walking in love with God, walking in love with each other, we have the assurance of messages, deliverance. We have the assurance of even judgments in the earth. These operations are real. They're happening around us. As we line ourselves up with walking with the Lord, this study is to help train your eye to begin to know what you're looking at in the earth. You're indestructible, and you have an eternity secured in heaven. This is a time we must ask the Lord, Lord, grant me boldness to speak. And as I speak, that I would speak as I ought to speak, declaring the word of God. Now listen, we love you so much. Go to our website. Keep going back. Get these messages inside of you. We also have evangelism training. How do you talk to someone? You know, how do you set up an evangelism department in your church to get your people to begin to be trained and then reaching out? I tell you, that's so important to the Lord. Pastors, if you're any pastors watching this, you're responsible to make sure that you have the Great Commission working in your community. Don't look for other people to do it. It lays on your shoulders to be the one developing, listening, training, and then getting those testimonies released into the congregation so that people in the congregation are going to be moved to jealousy to begin to get out and talk about Jesus. So important for this time. So we love you. Until we meet again, we're going to keep on these. So this completed the angel module. And now stay tuned for the next module. It's going to be amazing. God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.